Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Sideline Junkies presentation brought to you. Let's start this all over again. How do we do this? Let's see. It's welcome to another production of the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network in conjunction with Clear Production Sports. It's Friday Eve. And we do a little show. I think they call it Thursday Night Throwdown. Yeah. Sorry, man.
That's all right. That's all right. As you heard, the Midnight Rider, bring that in. I'm the big guy, KG. That's the Midnight Rider. Man, we are here. We are pumped. We are amped for this Friday Eve. First and foremost, most importantly, how you feeling tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm getting a chance to see Tiger. And he actually looks pretty nice right now. The dude is a wizard when it comes to shaping shots on golf courses. And he just hit a ball off of the brush to get on the green. And like if any of us had done that same shot, we would have either scorched it across the green surface, or we would have hit it short and it'd have rolled back to us or something. So it's just amazing just watching. It's amazing watching these guys, period. But especially when it comes to Eldrick.
I agree. I've been keeping up online here and there, peeking in to what he's been doing. So hopefully this is another green jacket, but we'll see.
He's going to have to do some. He's going to do some heavy lifting tomorrow, because more than likely they're going to run out of time somewhere between him being on the 12th and 13th. So he's going to finish up from the 13th on tomorrow morning early, and then turn around because he's got an early tee time, and come back and play his full second round. So that's going to be a little bit of wear and tear. He's probably going to end up playing about 24 holes tomorrow. Yeah, he's hitting the golf ball with good pace right now. I want to see what he's going to do in this par five, because this is normally where he steals a couple of shots in the tournaments, especially this tournament. He likes to, if he can be under on the par fives, he's in good shape. That's when you also know he's struggling. If he's running a plus number in the on the par fives, then you know he's struggling all around, because that's not his game. He normally tears up the par fives, plays even on the threes, and then makes some great putts to get in the negative, get some birdies on the fours. Sorry about that.
That's all right. That Augusta National update is brought to you by Helen Hunt Motors. Today, I celebrate my two-year anniversary at Helen Hunt Motors as the service manager, head of sales, as well as delivery manager. It is a wonderful place to work. And if you need a car to get you from point A to point B and everywhere in between, go to Helen Hunt Ford. It's only one location and it's near you. All right? Got to get to a little sad news today. The 1973 most valuable player, 1973 offensive player of the year, five-time first team All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler, one-time AFL All-Star, Burt Bell Award winner, AP Athlete of the Year in 1973, AFC Offensive Player of the Year three times, four-time NFL rushing yards leader, two-time NFL touchdowns leader, NFL scoring leader in 75, all-decade team of the 70s, NFL 75th anniversary team, all-time team, and the 100th anniversary all-time team, Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame, USC Trojans number 32 has been retired, national champion in 1967, Heisman Trophy winner in 68, as well as the Maxwell Award in 68, Walter Camp Award winner in 1968, two-time player of the year in 67 and 68, sporting news player of the year in 68, two-time unanimous All-American, and first-team All-Pac-8 two times. Arenthel James Simpson has passed away today. Not to mention 11,236 yards in a career with 61 touchdowns. Pro Football Hall of Famer and College Football Hall of Famer, O.J. Simpson, has passed on today after a battle with prostate cancer. I'll let you take it first, Midnight Rider. Your capsulized thoughts of one O.J. Simpson.
Well, it looks like Tiger's tee off of 12 is in the woods and in the brush. Quick update there. That's his first shot. Orenthal James, O.J. Simpson. I always, and I know we're going to try to attack it this way, but I try to attack his life from his playing days to 92-93, and then look at the second half of his life from 93 on. And I think we have the first crossover athlete. And what I mean, he crossed over into Hollywood in a way where he did commercials, because he was the first, I think he was the first black representative for Hertz, the rental car company. So you saw him running through, infamously running through airports. You know, he had his movie stuff with the Naked Gun series and probably a couple other things he's done. And then you add on top of that, the broadcaster. And he was in the ABC booth. I think he did some pregame stuff as well. And then you go and you supersede all of that with his playing career. One of the best runners, gliders. He was probably the guy that they transitioned to after Jim Brown as probably one of the best running backs ever. You had a strong argument for OJ for a long time. That's pretty much all I can think of right now for him, man. The 2,000 yards, I forgot what they call the Buffalo Bills O-line. I know you know the name of it. But yeah, man, how do I say it? He was a tremendous athlete, and he was a person that paved the way for people like your Irv Cross, you know, some of your other athletes that became spokespeople, you know, some of your Magic Johnsons and Michael Jordans and things of that nature. I mean, they have to have some homage for him for basically being the person that started and paved the way in that regard. That's all I got.
The name of the offensive line was the Electric Company, because the juice ran through the Electric Company. I have been a fan of O.J. Simpson for quite some time. Naked Gun, Detective Nordberg, absolutely hilarious. My cousin, whom I grew up in the same house with, was a huge Buffalo Bills fan growing up. And his main reason for being a Buffalo Bill fan was O.J. Simpson. He said when he was about 3 or 4, he remembered seeing O.J. run. And he said, I never seen nobody run like that before. He was like, that's my team. That's my guy. And he was an O.J. Simpson fan from that young of an age. And to grow up in the time that we grew up, and you knew O.J. from all the Hertz commercials, and we used to watch the NBC pregame show. We used to watch the NBC games as well as the CBS games at the time, because that was at CBS and NBC were your two stations. And it was John Madden and Pat Summerall on CBS, and we tuned in to watch Bob Costas, Ahmad Rashad, and O.J. Simpson on NBC.
Ahmad Rashad was the other person I was trying to think of.
Right. And what's crazy is when Ahmad Rashad and Felicia Rashad got married, the groomsmen were Bill Cosby and O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know a lot of people have comments and things like that. Hey, you're entitled to your opinion, your comments, all of that. That's why I didn't want to shut none of that down. I even let moms know, no, people are allowed to express themselves to Sideline Junkies 24/7. You don't like somebody, you're allowed to express yourself. And some people say, well, if you can't say anything good about the dead, don't say nothing else. However, I don't live by that, because I remember when Rush Limbaugh passed away, and the first thing I said was rot in pieces. It wasn't my favorite. He wasn't even on my radar. I could give two drops of monkey piss about him. And some people feel like that about OJ and several other people. You're entitled to that. No hard feelings. We can still fist bump it and still be we can still be people. We can still sit down and have a conversation about everything else, even though we don't agree on one topic. I'm cool with that. I'm not going to sit here and dog you out. If you don't care for OJ, you didn't, you know, you felt what you felt about what happened 30 years ago. We all got our own opinions. That's his cross that he has to bear. You know, that's not us. So I'll say that. But I did some math. I did some math. And in 1973, when he ran for 2,003 yards, he did it in 14 games. 14 games, right? Midnight Rider, do you know what his average per game was?
I'm going to say 112, because that's where the players dwell.
Nah. 143.1. Now, I did that average. He ran the ball 332 times, which is a career high. 6 yards per carry. His longest run was 80 yards. He had 12 TDs. 143.1. And I put that in the old number old meter. And I came out with, and I multiplied it by 17. If he was to play in 2024 and he ran the ball and averaged that many yards per carry, I mean per game, he would wind up with 2,433 yards. I rounded up. It was 2,432.7. So I rounded it up. He would average, I mean, he would get 2,433 yards in a season. That beats 2,105. And I still think anybody rush for 2,000 yards, amazing feat, amazing. I tip my hat to you, to the Eric Dickersons, the Barry Sanders, Jamal Lewis. Who am I missing? Jamal Lewis,
Adrian Peterson,
AP,
Chris Johnson,
Derrick Henry.
Yep.
I tip my hat to all you gentlemen. Tip my hat. I would love to see somebody do it in 14 games and then still have 3 games to beat 2,105. But it seemed like 2,105 is just out of reach. Everybody gets so close, and it's always not close enough. I think AP was the only one. I think he was short, 13, 14 yards, I think.
Yeah, that was the ACL year too.
Yeah, that was when he came back. Yeah. Now tell me that dude ain't a freak. Freak of nature. You come back off of ACL, which used to be a career-ending thing. You come back off of ACL and you run for 2,000 yards. That's a freak, man. But even though you have your opinions about OJ, you have to look at it like this. On the more human side of it, his children lost a father last night. His grandkids lost their grandfather. You know? So you have to look at that. Somebody lost a family member. Your opinions and your thoughts and your comments are yours. Wholeheartedly. You make them as any way you want. On the flip side, think about the family that's grieving the loss of a loved one right now. So your opinions are yours. Just think about the whole aspect of it. And I'm not here to prosecute him in the court of Sideline Junkieville or public opinion. So that's not my job. That's way above my pay grade. I do not have a law degree, even though I've seen 25 years of Law and Order SVU, and not to mention all the Law and Orders and LA laws that I've watched in my lifetime. Don't forget In the Heat of the Night, but I do not have a law degree. So I cannot say that. So rest in peace to OJ Simpson. Shout out to Cameron and Mace for having him on their podcast on a regular basis and cutting up with him and chopping it up. That was like a little resurgence there. So shout out to them for giving him a platform and you know, just chopping it up and talking, you know, smack with him. Before we move on.
Oh, we got to go to 93, 94. I mean, we got to talk about the incident.
Okay.
I mean, we can gloss over it, but I mean, it's the one moment where everybody knows where they were when the Bronco chase happened. I know I was sitting in my room watching the Rockets and the Knicks play that game. I think the Knicks were actually winning at that point. You know, the TV, they break in the TV and but news breaks and you see a white Bronco driving down the highway. And you see OJ, or they're telling you it's OJ. And I mean, everybody's mouth is, you know, aghast because you definitely didn't expect that to be the situation. And then that brings into one of the biggest years in 1995. So, I mean, 1995 was a big year because you get the verdict. And if you want to jump in here, jump in at any point.
I'm listening because I got you.
I mean, you get the in 95, that month of October. I don't know if everybody remembers that, but October 3rd was the verdict, all right? I think that's my second year at Mason. Yeah, that's the second year at Mason. So the 3rd is the verdict, and you have the school. We had Student Union 1, and you can see, like, the room was almost divided by race. The reactions were divided by race a little bit. And then, oddly enough, 2 weeks later, you have the Million Man March on October 16th. And like that year was, for a lot of people, that year meant a lot in terms of social discourse and things of that nature happening. And that case was at the center of some of that. And you have people that hold resentment. I mean, you have people that talk about, you know, my situation, what it is. You know, you have video of Rodney King getting beat and he got acquitted. I just don't understand why everybody's so sure that this guy did it. And we don't have any video evidence. There was evidence in the case. I don't know. That's not my place. Just like you said, I'm not going to judge this case in this format. And then after that, you know, he goes to jail for stealing back his memorabilia. And then he makes a little bit of a resurgence by starting out on Twitter. He does a thing with Mason, those guys. Whether he did it or not, at that point, I mean, you saw the guy get quiet after a while. The last couple months, there wasn't any informational news from him. So when this came up, it was like, oh, that explains it. Like, you know, he kind of went off the grid.
I remember in 94, I remember where I was at because I remember, of all things, the NBA Finals was on, but the Jackson's American Dream was on Channel 7. NBA Finals was on 4, and they preempted all of that to show that chase. And I was... My godmother lived in Northeast at the time, and I was in her room because she had 3 TVs in the house. So all 3 TVs were on, but had something different on each TV. So I was going room to room. I was zigzagging back and forth. So the bedroom TV had the Jacksons on it. The TV in my room had the finals on. And I forget what the TV in the living room had. So I'm zigzagging back and forth. you know, I'm sitting a little bit, go, sit a little bit, go. So, you know, I'm just doing my thing. Now, 94, during that was June 94, I was 12 years old. Whole 12. And I remember watching that, and I remember turning all the lights out, and I laid across the foot of my godmother's bed, and I fell asleep. She woke me up and told me that they had finally caught him. Matty Ice chiming in. He said the Rangers in the Stanley Cup Finals, and that's what it was. The Rangers, it was, we had a lot going on. Rangers win in the final cup, in the Stanley Cup. Yes. Yes. But I also remember, you know, wondering like, okay, what is all this for? You're 12 years old. You don't know. What is all this for? Now, fast forward to the following year, once the trial was over, October 3rd, 1995. It's my freshman year of high school. I was 13 years old. I hadn't turned 14 yet. I was 13 years old. And I remember sitting in ROTC when they announced the verdict. I remember when we changed classes, the celebration in the hallways and the clapping and the high-fiving and everything in the hallways. And it was louder than normal. Mm-hmm. I remember also, you mentioned the Million Man March. I remember wanting to go and not being able to go. And I was really, really upset that I wasn't able to go, because I felt that was some place that I needed to be. But nobody wanted to go with me. So that was that. But when all of that happened, OJ goes to jail again. I remember they were messing with him in jail. I remember I had said something on Facebook about them messing with him in jail. And I'm like, why? You know, leave him be. When he got out, he got on Twitter. Didn't have really many followers because everybody thought it really wasn't him until he started putting up videos. Him playing golf in Florida and just, you know, chilling with his kids and stuff like that. And, you know, he got on with Mason Cam, and, you know, that's already a wild show anyway. And they don't hold back on nothing. And he just kind of sort of fit right in with everybody. And they just had fun. So there was a lot of missteps in life, but you show me somebody that led a perfect life. You show me a perfect person. If you can show me a perfect person right now walking this earth, I got some beachfront property that you can have for free in Utah. So
that's all I got, man. I just want to kind of encapsulate everything.
That's pretty much it. And but before we move on, I gotta say this. Gotta say rest in beats to Mr. C, man.
Oh, yeah.
If it wasn't for Mr. C, one of my favorite rappers of all time probably wouldn't have been out. And that is none other than the Big Daddy, not Little. King Asiatic, no one's equal. If you don't know who I'm talking about, Big Daddy Kane. So and we wouldn't have had Biggie neither, because he discovered this rapper on the street in Bed-Stuy, and you know the rest is history. You know, you got one of the hardest MCs, and Big Daddy Kane, in my opinion, top 10 all time, and then you got probably one of the greatest storytellers when it comes to the rap game in Biggie. And Mr. C had a hand in all that. So rest in peace to Mr. C. Rest in peace to OJ.
And Tiger got out of that par five with a five. So he got a par.
All right. Well, that's good.
So now he's
what is his score right now?
He's minus one through 13. I think they're walking to 14 now.
Okay. Okay, we're going to talk some NBA playoffs. We kind of hinted at it over the, on Tuesday. However, this is a crazy race, because I'm looking at the Eastern standings. Let's start in the Eastern Conference first. the Celtics, Bucks, and Knicks have all clinched. Right?
Okay.
Fair enough. Seems regular, right? The Bulls and the Hawks have clinched the play-in. But seeds 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 have not clinched at all. What?
Newsflash. Newsflash. Caps down 1-0 to Buffalo.
Jeez. My poor heart. I don't need no more strain right now.
Yeah, let's say that was their last hope for the day, and they're stopping play now.
Okay. Getting dark.
Yeah.
Because Atlanta is what? Atlanta's Eastern time zone. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, and it's already, it's dark outside. So it's. Ah, Matty Ice. Straight on time. Look, he didn't even have to see the show format and already in tune. See, that's what family do right there. Can you explain how the play-in work? I still don't get it. Midnight Rider, please explain to the people in podcast land, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all over, especially Matty Ice. How does the NBA play-in games work?
Well, I'm going to need your assistance because as we did pre-show out there, there's a part that stumped me, and it's the biggest change. But basically, 7 plays 8. The winner of 7 versus 8 is automatically the 7th seed, and they're done playing until they play their first round matchup. 9 plays 10, and one of that is eliminated. All right? So then, so let's just say we had what's the East? Let's look at the bottom 4 of the East. So let's say it this way. So right now, 7, 8, 9, 10 is Philly at 7, Miami at 8, Chicago 9, Atlanta's 10.
Yes.
So let's say Miami beats Philly. Miami becomes the 7th seed. Let's say the Bulls, who play the Hawks, the Bulls win that. So now there will be a game between the Bulls and the 76ers, and the winner of that game becomes the 8th seed. So basically, it's almost, it's not a round robin tournament. It's like a single elimination tournament, basically for the 7 and 8 spots. And the only person that gets in with their first win is the winner of the 7-8 matchup.
And now, see, hold on, because you confused me with that. Because the 7-8 matchup is the Heat and the
76ers.
And the 76ers. So if the 76ers win that, they're the 7th seed.
Right.
Then you have the Hawks and the Bulls, and who wins that becomes the 8th seed?
No, who wins that plays the loser of the 7-8 matchup.
Which would be the, let's say the Bulls win and they got to play the Heat.
Right.
So
and the winner, and then the winner of that becomes the 8th seed.
Okay. And so you could possibly have a 10th seed that goes up to 8.
Right. And then what you could possibly have is A squared plus B squared. That equals C squared. Because that's really what this sounds like, Pythagorean theorem.
But see, once we start squaring everything, when do we start cubing? let me explain something to you. I took trig in my senior year in high school. Have never had to use it, but I'm feeling like I might have to start taking trig all over again and start using it when it comes to NBA playoff time.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I like the fact that they make the teams earn their way in the playoffs. But yeah. It's interesting, but I think it's the best of both worlds. Go ahead.
I have to disagree with you because I believe you earn your way into the playoffs during the regular season. And I don't see what's wrong. This is not my NBA. This is not our NBA. This is for the younger generation. But if it comes down to the last day, and you have the Bulls are sitting at 9, and I can't tell how many games are they back. They are the Bulls. If this is old rules, the Bulls don't make the playoffs because right. They're 7.5 games back of the Heat. So the Heat got the 8th seed locked up. But you make your bones and you make the playoffs during the regular season. You win games. You play to win the game. That's the whole thing, is to go to the second season to have a chance. Now, sometimes the AC is a sacrificial lamb for the one seed.
Well, let's not forget, the only way we get or get to this play-in tournament to begin with is the COVID season. So this was the adaptation to kind of help, I mean, because there was no way to kind of equalize or make it a level playing field by having teams not play for 3 months, play eight games all of a sudden. Those eight games all of a sudden determine like where everybody's future from the season that started, you know what I'm saying, that was played 3 months ago or whatever. So it was kind of like an equalizer. And then the other thing that happened was, as always, you made money. You got extra revenue. And that's what it's about. It's about the revenue.
I don't want to keep saying this because it seems like I'm pooping on the league, and I'm really not trying to, because the league is doing what they have to do to stay relevant, to make money. That's what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's about making money. I just don't. This is like the biggest participation trophy era of just like, yeah, you're below 500. You're the 9 seed. You're the 10 seed. We're going to let you in the door to the dance, but you may not go home with the pretty girl. But at least you went to the dance and grooved a little bit. I mean, you got your two songs, and you got your little I Like by Guy. You maybe got some Every Little Step by Bobby Brown, but it's time for you to get up out of here.
But you can't knock the system, because you had the Miami Heat come out of the play-in scenario. And what did they do? They were in the finals last year?
Yes.
You had the Lakers come out, and they were in the championship series?
Yes.
Lost to the Nuggets? So it's not like, I mean, you're rewarding teams, but these teams are still getting in and figuring it out. So you can't just, I mean, you got to let them have that. You must have just saw it.
Yeah. Let's get to this real quick. Matty Ice said, what happens if one gets into the PI in the play-in?
No. I think this is what happens if one gets to pie.
Oh, to pie. Oh, that pie. That's 3.14.
Yeah, jeez. I think that's what we're talking about. I don't think we're talking about play-in.
Oh, geez. If one gets to pie, geez. Now, see, Matt, you know, pie is infinite. It goes on and on and on.
JoJo just jumped in. She might be lost at all these math references.
Matty Ice with an update. Denver just upset Boston U in the first Frozen Four semi in OT. Damn.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's big. JoJo said, hey, made it. I'm glad you are here. JoJo, thank you. Yes, it's shaking my head, rewarding the loser. This is not our NBA. You made the playoffs during the season. You didn't need a tournament. Matty Ice says, so did Stella get her groove back? Hey, you can't get your groove back if you're a playing team, because you go to the dance, you get two daggone dances, and you got to get up out of it. Your curfew just hit. Unless you're a Cinderella, then you might be able to get in there. You might get a couple of slow drags in there. You might get a little Voyage to Atlantis by Isley Brothers. You may get some Send for Me by Atlantic Star. But you're not going to take the prettiest girl home. You going to the dance, but you're not going to take the prettiest girl home. I think this is just like, this is all for naught in some cases. I'm just saying. But you can't get your groove back if you're only getting two songs and you got to go. You can't get your groove on. Can't do that.
Are we done with the musical? Just asking, because maybe the next round we can get to, like, you know, maybe we go to a little house, we go watch out for the big girl, and it's time for the percolator. I don't know. I don't know what we do.
Well, you know, that's if you get to the conference finals. That's when you start hitting the house music.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
That's when you got to dance. You got to put work into that. You got to dance. You know?
So just to recap, we've talked OJ. We've done some trigonometry and geometry. We've done a music playlist. We've explained the NBA play-in. I think we got a lot of stuff covered today.
I think we did. And JoJo said there should be no play-in. I agree.
But, I mean, you guys got to just understand the league is it's an opportunity for the league to at least take advantage, get a couple more ball games in. I mean, if it was up to y'all, we still have the pregnant back TVs. So let's not.
What do you mean still have them? I still got one. Oh, what do you mean?
I got a TV for you. I got a flat screen. I got a flat screen. Like an up-to-date TV, so you can get rid of your TV.
My next TV, I already found it. I'll send you a picture of it later. My next TV is a floor model. It's this old wood joint that I had. So I told my wife, I'm going to go ahead and get that. We're going to put that in the living room so Dario can play the PS5 on that thing.
Dario's going to hate you for that.
Oh, it's really not for him to play the PS5 on. It's really more along the lines of me being able to play my Nintendo and my PlayStation on it.
Okay.
With the green numbers and don't worry about it, I send it to you. JoJo saying 7 and 8 got to play to lose instead of resting. I agree. And Matty Ice has a really, really good, really, really good question. What if I can't dance?
You gotta stand on the wall.
No, you just right here. Just you right here. Yeah, that's it. Elbows 90 degrees. This is circle you saying right here. Get it right on the beat. That's it. That's all you doing.
Is this the part from Hitch? Because that's what it sounds like.
That's all it is. Can that, Matty? Everyone cut foot loose, man. If you feel it, if it's in your soul, do it. Matty, there to have fun.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
Oh man! And JoJo says now I'm up to date on TVs. It doesn't. Here's my thing.
Like, we got to allow change happens.
I get that.
The change going to come.
Okay, oh, Sam. Yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it is.
Listen to what I'm saying. And we do this every year. When you come, the NHL, I think, has the best playoff system. Because if you win in the first round, they do reseeding. And then when you reseed, you never know who you're going to play all the time.
You gotta know it's different. It's not the reseed anymore. And Maddie can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the way they have it up, they set it up where the divisions kind of play each other into the finals. So whatever the four teams that make it from the Metro, they play in the second round. This is how we always kept getting the Pittsburgh Penguins versus the Caps in the second round. You don't get the receipt anymore. It's not the old. They changed that like 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, I'm outdated. And Matty Ice just confirmed no more receipt.
See, still no big back TVs.
JoJo said, I get change, but it's reward knows it didn't make it. But even that, even if you're going to play in the division, even that, that's better than this play-in stuff. Because you're telling me we go from 8 teams to 10 teams. And it used to be hard as.
But you're making it seem like the 10th team, the 9 and 10 team are like, they're more than likely the ones that lose. Every now and then, a 9 and 10 will get up in it, get up to 8. But, I mean, they're still the sacrificial lamb if the one seed is good. The problem is some of the one seeds, when they get in the playoffs, haven't been as good as advertised.
Well, I mean, everybody can't be 94 Denver and upset Seattle. Everybody can't beat who was the one seed in 99. I can't even remember who the one seed was in 99. It may have been Miami. I don't remember. But
I know the Mavericks lost 1 year.
Yeah. Everybody can't be those Cinderella teams. Like the 99 Knicks, I really thought was going to win the championship because they were an A seed that went all the way and they threw haymaker after haymaker after haymaker with the Spurs, but they just didn't have enough to stop Duncan and Robinson and Sean Elliott.
And again, why are you opposed to this? Like, you're still going to get to, like, all they did was change the roadmap to Sesame Street.
It's not really, okay.
All they did was add one little turn.
That's not even a turn. That's an on-ramp.
Okay. So now we in the mapology, I guess. I think it's called topography is what it is.
It is. But here's the thing. You battle for 82 games a year. Your record after 82 games determines if you make the playoffs. It should not come down to an extra set of games to decide if you go into the playoffs or not. If you did not, I've watched teams. The Washington Bullets, number one. I've watched them win and beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in 96 on the last game of the season just to make the playoffs, to be the sacrificial lamb. Which story? I'm confused.
Let's talk about NBA playoff storylines.
Okay, what you got?
Before we get out, because first you got to go through the seeding so everybody knows who's 1 through 10 or who.
Okay.
And then let's do the East and the West real quick. And then let's talk about possible storylines.
Because I'm shaking my fist at the cloud right now. And I see you trying to pull me in, so I understand. But all said and done, I don't like the play-in. Never have. But anyway, in the East, Celtics are your number one overall seed. The Bucks follow up at number two. Knicks are number three. Perry's Knicks at number three. The Cleveland Cavaliers are number four. The Magic are number five. The Pacers are six. 76ers are seven. Heat is eight. My Bulls are nine. And the Atlanta Hawks rounded out at 10. On the West side, you got the Nuggets holding firm for right now. They got a one-game lead over the Timberwolves, who are number two, and the Thunder, who are number three. The Clippers are coming in at number four. The Mavs are number five, and all five of those teams have clinched a playoff spot. The Pelicans are number six. The Suns are number seven. The Kings are eight. The Lakers are nine. And the Warriors rounded out at 10. Lakers and Warriors have clinched a play-in. So, what's your storylines you got so far?
The first one, I think it's the easiest one, and it's in the East. It's who are the Milwaukee Bucks? Can Doc Rivers... Will he be Moses
and lead him to the promised land,
but not make it there himself?
Now we're going biblical.
You know what I'm saying? You can get him. Ooh. He can't set foot in the promised land, so he may not be able to win it. He might be at the doorstep again. We just gotta hope he doesn't go 3-1 up 3-1 and lose 4-3. That's what we gotta hope doesn't happen to him.
Hold on. So let me get this straight. Let me get in a little close here. So you're saying that Doc Rivers can lead him to the River Jordan but can't lead him to the promised land? Is that what you're saying? That's what you're saying. So you're saying he can lead him to the River Jordan, but he got to go to Mount Sinai.
Exactly.
Ooh. Now we're getting biblical. I don't think the Bucks have an identity. Ever since Doc took over, the Bucks were the number one seed when he took over. They are 13 and a half games out of first place. They have been a poorer team under Doc than they were under Adrian Griffin.
They're 500 now.
How do you get, and it's the same thing that happened with David Blatt. How do you get a team to play in championship basketball and then they fire you while you're number one? Bring in somebody and they don't do half as good a job as you were doing.
It's called the sport of basketball where the players reign. And I think he rubbed Giannis the wrong way.
Couple comments. JoJo says 9 and 10 need to head on home. Man, now I gotta play extra. People have some ailments, they now gotta play. Or you could be like Bradley Beal and just sit out and leave your team high and dry.
I was waiting for that.
She also says Bucks going down. I have that before the season when they got Holiday, and Orlando is a sleeper. I do believe Orlando is a sleeper. All right. Here's my thing. Coming out of the East, I think your biggest threat to the Celtics not running the table here, it may be the Knicks.
Okay, well, here's what I was going to say. Storyline number two. Will the Celtics finally get over this time? Will they complete their story and win the NBA Finals?
Is one of Dusty Kings playing there?
No, sir.
And they not completing no story.
So you have, okay. All right.
And hold on. Here's the thing. Let me explain that real quick. I have to say this, and I have to give this disclaimer. I know my cousin Robert is sitting high and looking down on me, and, you know, him, my buddy Antonio, they sitting up there, they talking trash because they big Celtics fans. So they talking trash. That I said something about Big Green and Beantown and all that, and I get that, fellas. But this team is good in the regular season always, but when it comes to playoff, they lose all connotation of what they're supposed to be doing. You can't give them a roadmap to the championship. You can give them a roadmap, hand-drawn, and say, here's the championship trophy, here's the Larry O'Brien trophy, and they still can't find their daggone way when it comes to the playoffs. Just my opinion, though. Next up.
All right.
Sorry, fellas.
The next one is simple. Will Steph and LeBron make it out of the play-in? Because they have to fight. They have to play each other. And yes. It stays this way. They play the 9-10. So one of them goes home early. And the other one sticks around for an extra show. So the question is, do they both stay home? Because they are 9-10, so technically in your world, they wouldn't even make the playoffs. But they do in this play-in scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Can one of them get out of the play-in, become the 8 seed, and maybe wreak some havoc?
I do believe. I think the Lakers have the better chance. Now, all these teams, your first 10 teams in the West are all above 500. And the 10 and 1 are only separated by 10 and a half games, with about 2 to 3 games for most teams to play. Right. Let's say that. So that's your separation right there. These seedings can change.
And that's the reason why we didn't do a playoff segment where we talked about matchups and who's going to win what, because we probably won't have matchups until next Tuesday.
Right. And I think the Lakers come out of this one. I think, dare I say it, I think the Warriors dynasty is done. I think the last game the Warriors play this season, which may be in the play-in, it'll probably be the last game you see Draymond Green in the Warriors uniform. Probably Klay Thompson as well. Matty Ice checking in with an update. Pens take the lead on the Wings, 3-2 in the second. Habs beating the Owls, 1-0. Thank you for that, Matty. Always love it. What else you got coming out of the West?
So, you're just on fire today because you're just leading the stories. Storyline number 5 in the storylines is, can one of the young teams, Orlando, Oklahoma City, your Pelicans, can one of the teams that aren't considered the favorites make a run?
The Thunder are a game out of first place, as well as the Timberwolves. I think that may be – JoJo said Orlando being the East sleeper. I think Orlando is the East sleeper. I think the Thunder – are the West sleeper, because they play consistent ball, 55-25 right now, 2 games to play. If the Nuggets drop 2 games and the Thunder win 2, Thunder's the number 1 seed. So
we got in the next couple of days, we got to repost. I don't know where the show is. I try to look for it, but the NBA preview show. Mm-hmm. We need to post that in the group, so everybody can see what we talked about at the beginning of the season and see kind of how it lines up.
You know what? I'll get that. I'll pull it off of YouTube, and I got it.
Hey, let's make pull sure that you watch up. That. Ooh, that's good.
Matty Ice checking in. He says, sadly, Sabres just made it 2-0. Fuck. Okay. All right. See, I don't know, man. I've been. We'll talk about that and wrap it up with because I think I know where I'm messing up with the caps, man. I haven't ate a bowl of Oreos in a while. So
I got you in the recap. Going to close it up. So that's really it for me for storylines for right now because we don't have matchups.
Right.
So and we'll do different storylines and go from there.
If you had to pick right now, what matchup would you want to see in the NBA Finals?
Well, in the East, it's ABC. Anybody but Celtics. In the West, it'd be nice to see like a Knicks. I'm not even going to be a homer. I'm going to say a Knicks OKC type of thing would be interesting. Because you have two teams that were off the map, off of people's radar. Some people talked about it, but a lot of people didn't. Check it when we post the NBA preview show. You'll see what I'm talking about. And yeah, that'd be interesting. But that's not my pick, but that's going to be interesting.
Okay, we'll save the official pick for Tuesday. That way the boss BJ can join with that. Honestly, Clippers versus Knicks would be epic. And just to get the Clippers in the finals to be swept 4-0 by the Knicks would be good for me. I don't feel like it's revenge for 94. I don't feel like it's revenge. You know, I knew they weren't going to win in 94. I knew that, but the Rockets are too strong. But that'll be revenge in my book for 99. And I'm a Bulls fan, so I really don't care for the Knicks like that. But you got to give respect where respect is due. After all of the moves after that 99 championship run that were made that put them in hell, the hell with purgatory. They were in hell for so long to get out of that and to become a number three seed. And I remember we were talking about the Knicks 5, 6 years ago when we first started this show. And we were all talking about going up there and being the starting five. Because the Knicks had nobody. They had money and they were looking to pay people. We was going to go up there. Jim said he was coaching. I was like, bet. You know, Delonte and Junie was going to run the forwards. I was going to be the big point guard. We was going to put BJ in the middle. We was going to win at least 30 games just with us. And at that time, I think they hadn't got RJ Barrett. They had Kevin Knox and some other players. So we was like, all right, we can mesh with them. We'll be all right. We'll take them. We'll be all right. We knew we was going to win at least 30 games. And then we was probably going to trip into another 20 because once we jailed, it was over. We knew we was bringing a championship to New York.
I admire your athletic arrogance. I swear to God, I admire it.
If you don't believe in yourself, who else going to believe in you?
I know, that's right. Let's wrap this up.
I'm going to tell y'all something. I had to make up, and I apologize to everybody listening, everybody watching, because I felt like I had ruined the show on Tuesday. And I needed to make up for it tonight. So I needed to come in high energy and get it done. So I hope that you enjoyed this show immensely because I enjoyed sitting in with the Midnight Rider and bringing it to you. So, Midnight Rider, let me ask you a question. You ever had a craving for something that you haven't had in a while and it just comes out of nowhere and you just like, I really need that in my life right now?
Dog, that's my life. That's my eating habit. Like right now, I am on the biggest sunflower seed trip. Like every Saturday morning, it's part of my routine. When I go get gas, I get gas, I get a thing of Altoids, and I get a bag of sunflower seeds. And it's the big bag. Because I caught myself 1 week starting slow. I got a small bag and was just mad at myself because I wasted my time. So, yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is pre-marriage. Pre-marriage. I used to eat cereal 3 times a day. That was my food. That was my fuel. Different cereals. I'm a cereal connoisseur. When Dario was younger, his nickname was cereal. Because that's all we ate. They didn't call him Dario. They called him cereal. Because it's all we ate. We'd be sitting around on a Saturday, and we got 7, 8 different brands of cereal that we just rocking, right? I was out in Hagerstown today, and I don't know why, but I got a taste for a bowl of Wheaties. I ain't talking about no little bowl that you see on TV. I'm talking about a big country crop bowl of Wheaties and some cold milk. Sprinkle a little sugar on it because you got to have sugar on Wheaties to eat it. It's the only way you can eat it, just a little bit of sugar. And that's all I wanted at that moment. I came home, and I know my wife can hear me, and I wanted a bowl of cereal. She has some milk that she likes to bake, but she bakes with whole milk. I was like, you know, it's going to go bad tomorrow. Let me go ahead and get this whole milk up out the way so it don't go bad. Then when I go to the store tomorrow, I'll buy you another half a gallon of whole milk. She wasn't having it. She's like, nah, son, you ain't doing that. Nah, son. See, she just said it. I still ain't having it. Nah, son, you ain't doing that. I'll pour it out for it. No. For those that don't know, I'm lactose intolerant, but I refuse to admit it because milk does a body good.
Doesn't do your body good.
Nah, not at all. But I mean, it's in moderation. Oh, Matty Ice said Golden Grahams was my favorite as a kid. Matty Ice, brother, they had Golden Grahams on sale one time at Target. They were like 2 for $4. When I tell you, I went in there. I was working at night. I got off one morning and I went in there and I bought like 12 boxes. And I punished those 12 boxes in a week. You know, one of those boxes is like 2 bowls of cereal. So that was it. I ate 2 bowls of cereal to sit, especially if something good on TV. I ate good that week. Real good. But yeah, so I'm going to start a GoFundMe and a petition. Y'all don't have to send no money. I just need your signatures because I just want my bowl of Wheaties. And I want it done the right way. And I know y'all are with me. Maybe, just maybe, if we all came together as one and y'all signed this petition, my wife would let me have the milk because she's not going to use it. She can't use it.
I'm not getting involved.
Maybe y'all can help me.
I'm still trying to get some bread, so I ain't signing.
That's she was supposed to be making. She can ready make bread in the next couple of days. So if I call you, like, hey, bread's ready. Come on.
You might have to bring it to me. I'll tell you about that off air.
Okay. But, yeah, that's where I've been at today. And I was talking about hockey. I had a box of OVOs. I got 2 boxes of OVOs, I believe. And I'm like, maybe I need to pull my box of OVOs down to get a cap some momentum going into this playoffs if they can make the playoffs now. But I think you said this the last shot, so they don't win this, we're done?
No, so basically their chances just drop. If they lose, I think their chances to make the playoffs goes down to like 20%. But they might be getting some help because the Wings are losing. Looks like the Owls are losing, so they might have some help going on. So it may not be as detrimental as we think. So we might have a chance still. And in the words of Lloyd Christmas, so you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah.
Because that's about where we are. We're at Lloyd Christmas, so you're saying there's a chance level of getting into the playoffs. There's still hope.
Well, when there's hope, you know what else there is? There's a gleam, man.
I knew that was coming. I almost just said that.
There's a gleam. You got to have that gleam, Caps. There's a gleam.
Yeah, I've been around too long.
He said, kids, Wings, and Pens can't go to OT where they both get a point.
Right.
Okay.
You need the Pens or the Wings to get 2 points outright.
Okay. All right.
And then what you really need to do is buckle down and try to get out of this with a tie of your damn selves. Yeah, it's 2-1 now. So they're not dead. We still got to fight. And since we tying songs in, you know, you got to fight for your right to party.
And what are they trying to do? They're trying to go to the party. Pens just took a 4-2 lead.
We about to go back on another music playlist.
I'm more of a Brass Monkey fan, but okay. Brass Monkey and Girls. So, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us and indulging us tonight. It has been wonderful tonight. Let's do it again on Saturday night with the WrestleManiacs. Then we're going to get up again on Sunday morning and do it again with the Sunday Rise with the Midnight Rider, myself, and the boss, BJ, who's on special assignment tonight. So, as you can see, scrolling down the bottom, if you do not see it and you're listening to the audio playback, www.buyfortmose.com/discount/maniacs gets you a tasty beverage, $10 off on us, and get it shipped to the house. Have you something nice to sip on during the playoffs. Get you a big bottle, too. That way you got something real good to sip on, man. Ain't no messing around, so check them out. Midnight Rider, final words before we go?
Let's go Caps, man.
Real simple. I agree. Man, I guess that's it. So, for the Midnight Rider, I'm the big guy, KG. Y'all know the motto. We don't do no overtime. We are out of here.